You're listening to the Luke Page Podcast. This week's episode, I go over my monthly challenges. So I do these little monthly challenges every month. And basically what I do is I sacrifice something in my life that I like and enjoy. And I take on something that is uncomfortable. So in this week's episode, I just share what I did in February and then the challenges that I've taken on in March. Enjoy. All right, here we go. You're listening to the Luke Page Podcast, the number one podcast specifically made for coaches. Get ready for out-of-the-box conversations from the world's leading coaches and experts. We're going to be talking all things business, health, happiness, and just being the most amazing human being that you can. Why? Well, I ask, why not? You see, we're only here once. We've got one life, so let's make this thing count. I believe that we can have it all. All the money, all the love, all the joy, all the success, all the excitement. I'm here for all of it. And if you are too, then come along with me. Let's do this. My monthly challenges. So every month I will set myself a couple of challenges to do. And it usually revolves around I have to sacrifice something and give up something that I enjoy. And I also have to do something that's uncomfortable. And usually each month I just change. So I'll commit to something for I'll commit to a couple of challenges for a month, do it for a month, and then the next month comes along. I drop the previous months and I take on new ones. Why do I do this? Well, pretty simple. It's just sacrifice is one skill that we need to be able to deal with. Generally, what happens if we are at one level in our life, let's just say our business, and we want to get to the next level. A lot of the time we need to sacrifice our short-term pleasures and wants for a lot of things to get to this next level. So learning to be able to sacrifice things is just a skill set that serves you really well. So it's something that I drum into myself to be able to give up things, nice things in the moment, because it really does serve you. Think about it from a health point of view. If you've ever been someone where you're on a diet and you've got the cake in front of you and you say that, no, you shouldn't eat it, but for whatever reason, you can't resist and you eat that cake in the moment. It feels great in the moment, but what happens when you eat that last mouthful? What happens? Regret. Yeah. So it's a similar thing. If you reverse that and go, oh gee, this cake, I want it. It's tempting. It smells good. I know it tastes nice because I've had it in the past. It's the best. It's my mum's recipe. OMG. But you know what? I know for the good of my health that I'm going to say no to this cake right now. So it's the same sort of concept. A lot of things in our life, if it's like an immediate return or it's something that's immediately pleasurable, a lot of the time, long-term, it leads to the opposite. And vice versa, if something a lot of the time where it doesn't feel good in the moment or it's hard, long-term, it leads to good things. So I just teach myself a habit of being able to sacrifice things and go without things that I want. The next thing I do is I normally take on something that's uncomfortable for me, just because it's pretty simple. I want to grow, if we want to be able to grow, we need to be able to do things that are uncomfortable. So if I'm doing things that are uncomfortable for me every day, it's just teaching myself to be able to handle and do comfortable things, right? So that's why I do it. Now that you get why I'm doing things, and if you've been following me, you might know that I do these little monthly challenges. A lot of my clients know that I do them. Sometimes I speak about it on my socials and stuff like that. But if you haven't heard it before, that kind of explains things. So February's just passed. It's the 5th of March as I'm recording this. And to give you an idea what I did in February, I'm just going to go through a list of things that I did. I'll also share what I'm doing for March moving forward. Now, what's the kind of point of me sharing all this? I usually like to go into podcasts where, okay, even though I'm sharing my stories and my experiences with things, it's not just for me to share my shit. It's for you to get something out of it. So I see the point of this is that, hey, you might get inspired to start giving yourself some monthly challenges to build the, the muscle to be able to say no to the things that you want in the short term, but I know long term aren't good for you. And to be also to be able to lean into discomfort more often. So, hey, maybe you might get some ideas from what I do. Maybe you won't, but that's kind of the whole point of me doing this episode. So anyway, February, here's what I said no to. The first thing is videos to do with politics. I live in Australia. The politics in Australia are so fucking boring. I don't take any notice of it. Politics in America are crazy, and it's almost like a movie. Like, it's just that crazy. There's so much drama and things like that. And even though I don't follow politics, like podcasts and people like that. Like, it's not like I follow politicians, but I enjoy listening to podcasts and watching podcasts where, you know, a lot of the stuff around the world that does get brought up has got to do with American politics and worldwide politics and stuff like that. So, for example, Joe Rogan. I love Joe Rogan's. You know, he's very diverse with what he talks about. One day he'll be talking about politics. The next day he's talking about the pyramids of Egypt. The next day he's talking about the latest health breakthroughs. The next thing he's talking about Hollywood actors. So he talks to anyone and everyone, right? So I love listening to Joe Rogan's podcast and watching his. And a lot of the time they do speak about politics in there. There's certain points and things like that. So February, I actually gave up. I wasn't allowed to watch any of that stuff. Which is, it's almost like, I don't watch TV, but if you're someone who watches TV and you like your TV shows and stuff like that, this is like kind of my version of watching TV. So, you know, how often would I do it? Like most nights, yeah. So it's something that I like doing. Just at the end of the day when you're just kind of chilling out, you're being the old potato on the couch or bed. This is what I tend to go to a lot of the time. So, yep, I gave that up. And, you know, throughout the month it was tempting because there was big announcements around the world, things that had happened, yeah? Like the Tucker Carlson, if you haven't heard of him, he's a very well-known American journalist. He interviewed Vladimir Putin. And like, that's just such a big deal. And I'm like, oh, I saw it. And I'm like, I can't watch it. Can't listen to it. So I had to kind of stick to my guns and just stick it out. I survived it, but, you know, it's just things like that. Like, it's not like the end of the world, but it's just like, oh, I'd really love to bloody watch or listen or at least find out the summary of what happened and what questions he asked him and what Putin said and et cetera, et cetera. But I couldn't. So, yep, that was my first thing in February. The next thing is no sweets. So I like my desserts. I like my chocolate, and I gave up sweets and sugars. Now, when I say sugar, I could have fruit and stuff like that, but I just wasn't allowed to have anything where it's technically classified as a sweet. So you wouldn't say a banana is a sweet, but you'd say chocolate's a sweet. You wouldn't say a berry is a sweet, but you would say honey is a sweet. You know what I mean? So I wasn't allowed to have any chocolate, any lollies, any kind of sweets, that type of thing. And I would say with this, the first few days was quite hard. I had, I had cravings. Like, I was just like, oh, I really want some chocolate or I really want some dessert or something like that. And it was quite hard. It was on my mind. And my mind was, I remember one night, maybe about 3 or 4 days in, my mind is constantly thinking about sweets. And it was almost like to the point where I kept on going to get some sweets. But then I was like, hey, I'm not allowed to eat that stuff. I forgot about it. And legit, I'd be like, 10 minutes later, I'd like go to get some, I'd like, oh, I'd get this thought in my head, I might go to McDonald's and get a McFlurry. And then I'm like, hang on a second, I can't eat sweets. I remember there was one evening where that, like my brain was like tricking me, like literally every 10 minutes. And I'd completely forget in the moment, right, that I'm not allowed to have sweets. So I'd have to remind myself. So, I'd say the first week was challenging, but after that, it was pretty smooth sailing. I kind of, my body had adjusted to go without the sugar. So it wasn't so bad. So yeah, the first week was tough, but then after that was okay. Next one I had, I had to do a Joe Dispenza meditation every single day, which went for 35 minutes. And funny, this was quite easy. And I remember when I first got into Joe, which was back at the, a bit over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, started getting into him. And I come from not doing a whole lot of meditation, like doing a little bit, but to me, doing like even 15 minutes of meditation, 20 minutes was massively long. That to me seemed like so long. And I don't know if you've heard about it, but Vedic meditation. Vedic meditation is where you're meant to do two times during the day, and they go for, I think it's 15 or 20 minutes, and you just sit there and you repeat a mantra. So you just close your eyes and you just repeat this mantra. Mantra. Ahum, ahum, ahum. You just hear it really faintly in the back of your head. And you do that for 15, 20 minutes. You meant to do one in the morning and then one in the afternoon. I remember I tried that years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And I was like, man, this is impossible. Like, how the fuck do you do this? You know, 15, 20 minutes, but twice a day? Like, hell no. I tried it for a couple of days. I'm like, man, I can't do this. So anyway, we're getting into Joe's stuff. If you don't know who Joe Dispenza is, this guy has meditations that are like, you know, average half an hour. Some of them go for an hour and a half type thing. Long stuff. And when I first got into his meditations, they're unbelievable meditations. They're great, but so long. And last year I gave myself a bit of a challenge to do. I think it was January, I'm pretty sure. 2023, January. Gave myself a 30-day Joe Dispenza meditation challenge. And I remember I'd get through Monday to Friday, but weekends I'd really struggle. Anyway, this month, which was February, so last month, I gave myself the challenge to do Joe Dispenza meditation every day, 35 minutes, and it was a breeze. And it didn't matter if it was Monday or Saturday or Sunday. And it was just so easy. Like, I had no issues at all doing it. And I think I had no issues at all because I had actually just come off. I did 70 days straight of doing three meditations a day. They were only short. They were only 15 minutes. Doing three meditations a day, 15 minutes for 70 days straight, that was fucking hard. That was pretty tough. And like most of the days it wasn't, but for 70 days straight, it was definitely moments where, for example, it was Christmas time and I was out with my family and I was drinking alcohol and I was like, oh, there's my alert on my phone to do a meditation. Like, mate, I'm not in meditation zone right now. I'm partying, yeah? Or it's New Year's Eve and we've got the countdown going on. And it's like, hey, you got to do a meditation. Or yeah, you've been out. I went away in January and had a big day out. We'd had a few drinks and I was like, I laid down to bed to go to bed. Like, it'd been a big day. And then my alert came up, meditation. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that right now. I'm going to close my eyes and go to bed. So getting through that was hard. So I think because I'd been through that, doing the Joe Dispenza meditation once a day, it just seems so much easier. All right. Then I had to do these incantations for at least 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes they were. If you don't know what an incantation is, it's basically like affirmations, but you move your body. You kind of like, you know, an affirmation is like, I am powerful. I am amazing. I am this. Incantations where you're kind of feeling more, you're feeling more into what you're actually saying. I think I actually did a podcast. I'm pretty sure I did. And I made up this little thing called King Affirmations or some shit like that. I can't even remember why I called it King Affirmations. Oh, that's it. I called it King Affirmations because of Martin Luther King. So I've got this little process, right, is that you don't do affirmations because affirmations don't do a whole lot. The whole point behind, you know, doing an affirmation when you say that I am the best salesperson in the world, what we're doing it and why we're doing it is because we're trying to install new beliefs in our mind. And if it was so easy to install a new belief, we could just say, I am the best salesperson in the world and I love selling. And if it was that easy, we would just say it once and it would happen, right? We'd believe it. And then when it comes to selling, we wouldn't avoid it and we would enjoy it and things like that. But the reason why it doesn't happen is because we've got this we've got this subconscious mind, that's where all the programming is. And, you know, if you've had bad experiences with salespeople, whether it's through receiving people selling to or you yourself selling, if you have bad experiences over your lifetime, and maybe you've been told growing up that salespeople are bad or whatever it is, you get locked deep into your mind a message that salespeople are bad. Don't be a salesperson. So, you know, you've grown up now and you're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, and now you're being told that you need to sell for your business. You've got all this deep conditioning saying that salespeople are bad and don't go near them, and now you're being told to be one. So there's an incongruence between your conscious mind saying that I want to be a salesperson and your subconscious mind saying don't be a salesperson. And that's why you don't feel good when you go to sell, right? Hey, I just want to quickly jump in here to tell you about this awesome new training that I put together. It's called the 3 Steps to Get to 10K a Month as a Coach. Now, if you're a coach and you're currently making under 10K each month and you want to know how you can get there for yourself, how you can be doing 10K months, month after month, then you probably want to check out this really awesome training. Now, I've kept it short, only goes for 14 minutes. You don't even need to opt in, so save your email for another spammer. To watch it, head to lukepage.com.au/10K. I'm going to pop that link in the show notes. But anyway, let's get back to the episode. So if you just say an affirmation, I am the best salesperson, I am the best salesperson, it won't do anything. It won't do anything because you're not feeling anything, right? The way to reprogram your subconscious mind is that you need to think certain thoughts over and over and over. For example, I am a great salesperson, I love sales. That's a thought. But you also need to feel elevated feelings that go along with that, because the elevated feelings attached to the thought is what gets through and programs a new message, and it wipes the old message clear. So if you're just doing the old stock standard, I am powerful, I am a great salesperson, I am rich type shit, it doesn't do anything for most people simply because you don't have elevated feelings. Now, the thing that I do and what I talk about is King affirmations, Martin Luther King. I say, Martin Luther King, everyone's heard that speech he does. I have a dream that one day, da-da-da-da-da. So that's the way that I say do affirmations. So I say that, imagine you're speaking, you've got to do a speech, and there's thousands of people in front of you, and you're doing a speech convincing them on your affirmations. How would you talk? It's almost like, and I want you to talk like it's kind of like you're almost like on the presidential stage. How would you talk? So you wouldn't say, I am the best salesperson. You might say, ladies and gentlemen, I am the best salesperson. In fact, I love sales. And the reason why is because I love to speak. I love to share my heart. And I love what I do. And I know I can help so many people. And I do help so many people. And in order for me to help more people, make more impact, change more people's lives, I need to be able to communicate a great message. And ultimately, communicating a great message is just being a great salesperson. And that's what I am. So see the difference between I am a good salesperson, I love sales, compared to that. The second way evokes emotion in you, and that helps you reprogram subconscious. All right, well, we've got a little bit off track here. Sorry, I got a little bit excited about that one. Yes, so anyway, I had to do those little, I got these little affirmation things that I say. So I had to do those every single day. And I tell you what, that was kind of annoying to do. I mean, I must admit, like even only 5 to 7 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, sorry. There were days where I'm like, oh, I can't be fucked doing these. And I guess it was because, like, I found the 35-minute meditation easier than probably doing the incantations. It's probably because of the emotion and the effort involved. Like, you know, if you're just going, I am a great salesperson, I am a great salesperson, like there's no effort, there's no energy really spent doing that. But if you're picturing you're doing a speech and you're speaking out loud and moving your body, that does take energy. So I found that actually harder to do. Alrighty. Oh yeah, and the last one, far out, I almost forgot this. This is like the most important one that I did, I'd say. I gave myself a challenge to, I wasn't allowed to get angry or frustrated at anything. And this was a sick challenge because I learned heaps from it. I went the whole month without getting angry or frustrated at anything. Now, did I ever get angry or frustrated thoughts? 100% I did, yeah? But I just, whenever that it happened, whenever I started getting angry at something, right? So I get angry thoughts, or I got triggered in a moment, or I got frustrated in a moment. I literally had to catch myself, which I did, and just let it go instantly. So I was just like, say, for example, I remember one morning, it was like 4 a.m. Our son, Louis, he woke up. He wouldn't go back to bed. And I was just like, man, I'm fucking tired. I want to get back to sleep. And he's just like, you know, he's like not going back to sleep. And I'm like, ugh. Anyway, so I laid down in bed with him in his room, and he just wouldn't go to sleep. He's like squirming around and kind of crying and shit. And I felt, and I was getting frustrated. I felt like the feelings of getting frustrated, and I just had to go, okay, Luke, you're getting frustrated. Take a breath. Let it out. It's okay. Move on. And that's it. And that's all I did every time I started getting frustrated or angry. And what I learned from doing that whole thing a whole month with just not ever getting angry or frustrated. And like I said, it's really hard to stop initial feelings, yeah, and thoughts. But what you can, it's almost impossible, unless you're some, I mean, I'm just going to say it's impossible. It's impossible to stop certain thoughts. Negative thoughts, right? Thoughts that lead to you being angry or frustrated. That's impossible. What is possible, and this is my big learning around it, what is possible to control is our reaction to things. And that's all I changed about the month of February. I can't control my angry thoughts. I can't control my frustrated thoughts when someone does something that annoys me or something happens and it frustrates me. I can't control the thoughts coming up, right? But I can control the reactions to it. And that's all I did is I, number one, had the awareness. So I put on my phone, I had 3 reminders a day in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. Stay peaceful. So one, I think it's 7 a.m. and another reminder at 12:30, another reminder at 5:30 p.m. Stay peaceful, stay peaceful, stay peaceful. So I had to continually remind myself to stay peaceful. I didn't say don't get angry or frustrated because it's, you know, if you focus on whatever you focus on is what you get, right? So I decided to put it in the positive and say, stay peaceful. So I was like, I was constantly being reminded as I go throughout the day, hey, you got to stay peaceful, got to stay peaceful, got to stay peaceful, got to stay peaceful, got to stay peaceful. And when the time came where those, you know, that moment came where I started to get angry or frustrating thoughts, because I had reminded myself 3 times a day, got to stay peaceful. I was aware of what I was doing. As soon as I got those thoughts, I took a breath and I let it go. That's it. And I went a whole month without being angry or frustrated. And now I don't know if you think this is a big deal or not, but go fucking try it. Even if you're a person who's like Mary Poppins and you hardly ever get angry or frustrated, I guarantee there would be so many times, if not daily. I mean, the average person would probably get angry or frustrated several times a day. You might have someone who doesn't get as angry or frustrated, might get angry or frustrated a few times a week. Yeah. So even if you're at the level where you don't really get angry or frustrated, it still does happen a decent amount. You'd be surprised. But going through a whole month without you doing it, it's just the everyday person just, you know, reacts to things. So that was a massive learning, me doing that. I don't think it's sustainable being at that kind of Zen mode. I definitely felt on March 1, once I was kind of like, my angry and frustration month's over. On March 1, I didn't have like outbursts, but I definitely was way more moody on 1st of March than I was for the whole month of February. And I think it's just because my mind said, I can finally let it out now. So I don't think it's a sustainable thing to do it to that level. However, I've definitely learned that I do not need to react to so many things that I used to. So moving forward, I'm definitely not going to go as hardcore as I did. But I'm talking 80% of the things that I previously reacted to, I don't need to. And one thing with my wife and I, like, guess what happened? We, because we've been, last year especially was a really tough year for us from our relationship. Things have started getting better this year. But we didn't have one argument. We didn't have one fight. And it's pretty simple. It was because there was a moment, I think about a week in, where my wife started to argue with me. But because I wasn't arguing back, she had nothing to argue against. So there's no fire. So she was trying to start a fire, right? And because I was, and I even said to her, I said, hey, just so you know, I'm not getting angry or frustrated, so this ain't going to go anywhere. And it was so funny because it was like she had nothing to say and she kind of, you know, said a few things. And usually what would happen is she would kind of pick at me, say a few things, and then I would bite back at her. But this time she did her thing. She bit, and I just said, hey, just to let you know, this ain't going to go anywhere. And like, I looked at her and I said, seriously, baby, this ain't going to go anywhere. And she knew I was legit. So she just stopped. So it saved a fight. And when I say it saved a fight, I'm sure it saved like a couple more as well. So that's a really awesome breakthrough. Okay, that's February. March, we're now into. So March, what have I got? Number one, yoga every day. Go to yoga every day. Now, if you are going to set things for you, you've got to be specific, right? So I've got yoga every day. It's got to be at least 10 minutes. Just in case you want to, if you're liking the ideas of this and you're like, oh, I wouldn't mind doing this myself. Me personally, I just get kicks out of doing uncomfortable shit. It's just me. I'm weird, but one of my top needs in life is growth. I'm addicted to it. I love the feeling of doing hard, uncomfortable things. I love the feeling on the other side. I'm addicted to it. There's a chemical release that I get in my body, and that's addiction to how I have. It's a good addiction to have. But I just kind of like doing this stuff. For some people listening to this, or some people, mates I might tell, they might think I'm a little bit weird. But I don't know if that was recording, by the way, because my computer turned off. It looks like it was. Anyway, hopefully it does. What was I saying? Yes, okay, so if you are kind of like, oh, I wouldn't mind doing this, make sure you've got to be specific. So, for example, if you just say, I'm going to meditate each day, well, how long are you going to meditate for? What type of meditation are you going to do? Excuse me. So yoga, I've got to be doing at least 10 minutes a day. Some days will be, I generally don't do long yoga sessions. Yeah, like a half an hour yoga session for me is fucking long. 45 minutes if I'm legit, yeah. But generally, I exercise often, but I exercise in short punches. Generally, how long do I exercise for? 20 minutes. I'm a high number. What is it? I'm a high frequency, but low duration type of exerciser. So yeah, the average yoga session that I do would go for 15 to 20 minutes. So I've just given myself a rule. I got to do yoga every day and it's got to be at least 10 minutes. On average, it's probably going to be 15, 20 minutes. But if there's like a night where, you know, I'm tired and I can't be fucked and I've just got to tick the box to do things, it's probably going to be a session closer to 10 minutes. But I've got a rule. It's got to be at least 10 minutes, right? Can't just sit on the mat and do one downward dog and go, oh, I've done my little yoga for the day. So make sure if you do these or find something for yourself, you got to be specific. So you can definitely tick it or cross it. If you don't be specific, you will cheat. Your brain will cheat you into the comfortable option, right? So what I mean by this is if you say, my goal is to do yoga 30 every single day straight for the month. When it's easy, you do your big yoga sessions, but when you can't be stuffed and you're tired and you've forgotten about it for the day and it's 10 o'clock and you're about to get in bed and then you just remember, oh my God, I do yoga. What you'll do is you'll jump on the yoga mat and do, a downward dog, an upward dog. And then you'll be like, one little cat and cow. And you're like, that's done. I've done my yoga. So yeah, make sure you be specific. Next thing is I'm doing a Vipassana meditation. And this is going to be 15 minutes minimum, I've said. I'm doing them for 30 minutes, but I've given myself a little bit of a leeway with if I need to do it because it's the weekend and it's busy. It's got to be a minimum 15 minutes, but generally I just do them for 30. And so far, it's about 5 days into March, and I've been doing them for 30 minutes each time. Now, if you don't know what Vipassana meditation is, Vipassana is, there's a few different kind of things about it, but this is one of them. It's basically a meditation where you can't move. So you got to cross your legs, close your eyes, and bang. Once you find your position, you got to stay in that position for half an hour straight or however long you're doing the meditation for. And this is challenging because if you're a meditator, you know what I mean. You know when you get itchy? You know when you get that little itch that kind of starts fading in? You got that itch on your bloody nose. You just give a little quick scratch. You got to sit there and cop it. You know when you're kind of doing meditations and your back might get sore or your ankles are sore because you're crossing your legs or whatever it is, you just kind of move your body slightly just to get in a more comfortable position. You can't do any of that. You got to sit there and you got to let it come in and you got to let it come out. Now, what's the purpose of this? The whole purpose of it is detachment. It's teaching you the skill of detachment, right? So what you're meant to do is you're meant to basically just scan certain sections of your body. So you might just, close your eyes, you concentrate on the top left hand of your forehead, kind of breathe in and out. You just focus on the top left of your forehead. You do that for maybe a minute or so, and then you move it across to the top right hand section of your forehead, and then you move down to your left cheek and your right cheek and your bottom left chin, bottom right hand chin, and then you move down your arms and your other arms and your legs and your other legs, and then you kind of through your abs and your belly button, your heart, and all that shit, right? And the whole point is that let's just say that I'm on my right shoulder section. I'm concentrating my right shoulder, but then I get an itch on my left nostril. And what you're meant to do is you're meant to stay focused on your shoulder as opposed to the itch that's coming in. And the other thing is that you're meant to detach from pleasure and pain. So what I mean by this is that, let's just say, when you're kind of doing meditations and you feel, like you get to that point where things feel fucking awesome. Yeah, you hit that flow part where you just, you're a little bit high, you're really relaxed and you just got this feeling of just being so free and it feels good. Like there's this feeling of like love and bliss. And if you do meditate, you'll kind of know what I mean here. When you get to that point, you start kind of chasing it. You're like, oh, yes, this feels good. I want more of this. I want more of this. So in this meditation, Vipassana, what you're meant to do is detach from the good feelings as well as the bad feelings, right? So, of course, we don't want the pain of the itch. We don't want the pain of your ankle being sore. So not only when the itch fades in or you start feeling pins and needles in your left foot, are you meant to detach from the actual pain, and as opposed to wishing it going away, you just allow it to be, right? And keep focusing on the zone of your body for that moment. Also, say when the itch starts to subside, you don't also go, yes, it's going. Does that make sense? So it's to teaching you the skill of detachment, detaching from pain and detaching from pleasure. So the whole point of it, the idea is that, because the thing with meditation is that we're learning skills. So if we can learn skills being within and thinking within, then we can do it with our eyes open, right? So the Vipassana meditation, the whole purpose of it is that you can kind of teach yourself to detach from pleasure and pain. When you go throughout life, you also don't ride roller coasters so much, because life is a roller coaster. It's all about seasons. You'll have great moments in your life and you'll have terrible moments. You'll have patches and periods where everything's going right. You'll have patches and periods where nothing's going right. And it literally is a big roller coaster ride of experiences. And that's what makes life so amazing. Because if, in Melbourne, for example, So many people, if you live in Melbourne, in Australia, we're known for having four seasons in one day. Our winters are disgusting because they're not, it's not so cold that it snows, but it's just, it's a dirty, yucky cold where it's, you know, gets down to like five to 10 degrees on average in the winter, Celsius that is. And it's just cold winds. We get the winds from Antarctica coming up from the south. So we've got these cold, frosty winds that come through. And it's just a yucky winter, right? You know, if it was cold and to the point where it's snowing, it's kind of like, oh, you know, you're wearing a next level of clothing and it's kind of cool because you got snow. But the Melbourne winter is just kind of yuck because it's cold and it's just gloomy and dark and kind of miserable. And you get those cold gusts of winds. Some people love it, but so many people in Melbourne hate it. They can't stand it. But the great thing about Melbourne is that we have such volatility with our weather. So when the weather is nice, it makes it so much better. And I believe personally, if Melbourne's weather was just bloody perfect all the time, you just wouldn't appreciate the good days. You wouldn't appreciate the summer so much. You wouldn't appreciate the days where it's 25 and sunny and perfect. It's the shit, harsh winter of Melbourne that makes you look forward to summer so much. Oh, so bad. So I think it's the same, that analogy just works with life. Like we need the hard times and the shit times and the challenges and the struggles to appreciate the good stuff in life, yeah? where was I going with this? I don't know. But anyway, Vipassana meditation, yeah, that's it, to do with detachment. So the idea is that what's inevitable in life is ups and downs, yeah? But if we, from an emotional point of view, if we can be more grounded with our emotions, so not so reactive when everything's working, yeah? So, you know, say for example, you're winning, you're succeeding, and you're like, ah, yes, I love it. Yeah. Generally what happens, there's a law in this world called the law of polarity. And basically what it means is that for everything that exists, there also exists a complete opposite. Usually what happens is for people who are high energy type people, you know, I'm talking about the people I just mentioned there, the, oh my God, oh my God. Those people, they come down and they crash the most simply because their high energy emotions are elevated. The law of polarity states is that if you are experiencing one end, you will experience the opposite end. And the opposite end of the elation, the high feelings of those type of people is, you know, a very dark place. So if you can be a little bit more grounded with your emotions, you can handle life better. You can handle the ups and downs of it. And if it's like, hey, it's summertime, you're like, man, fuck yeah, I'm loving this. Summer's great, yeah? And it's wintertime, and you're like, man, you know what? Fucking wintertime's here. Hey, it's not ideal, but hey, I'm cool, yeah? So it's not to say that you don't love the good times, and it's not to say you don't hate the good times, but it's more of a grounded approach where your emotions aren't fully up and down, swinging on up and down based off what's happening in your life and the world. All right, two more. What's the next one? Next one for March, no sex. Whoa, I've never done this before. I'm going nun style. I am going, I don't know if it's Christian. I don't know much about religion, so if you're religious, let me know if I'm right or wrong here. I don't know, I think I've just done this from watching movies. Like a lot of, like you're not allowed to have sex before you're married. Is that the case with Christians? If you're a Christian, please let me know. Anyway, I'm just going to say I'm going nun style. So this is basically no sex, no masturbation, no sexual activity, nothing whatsoever for a whole month. I am, what's that word? I can't remember the word. Anyway, so the whole month I'm basically doing this for. I've never done this before. And is it going to be challenging? I reckon it will be. It will be challenging for sure. I am 5 days in, and I would say so far, I haven't really had urges. I haven't been like, oh my God, this is tough. So far, I'm all good, but I know the urges are coming. So that's going to be that's going to be a challenge to be able to go, all right, Luke, nah, you just got to keep on going. You got to keep the little spermies inside. Nah, you know, let her do that. Nah, sorry, wifey, you can't do that. Where did I get this idea from? I'm not sure where I got this idea from. I think I've always thought about it. One guy that I follow, Tyron Mowbray, he's like an old client of mine. I think he did a month. I'm thinking, is that the word celibacy? I'm just going to Google this here. Because when I was saying I got that word celibacy. Celibacy? Celibacy meaning state of being unmarried and therefore sexually abstinent, usually in the association with role of religious. Celibacy, so that's what I was kind of thinking of. Anyway, Tyron, I'm pretty sure I remember him doing something, this is years ago, where he went like a month, or maybe he went 3 months, I don't know what it was. But he wasn't allowed to have sex, he wasn't allowed to masturbate, he wasn't allowed to do anything. And I kind of like saw him do it, and I'm like, fuck, that'll be hard. So I think I've just had it in the back of my head since then, to maybe like, oh, that would be hard to do, and oh, Luke, maybe you should give it a go. But I think I've been too scared to do it. I think I've been like, oh, gee, I don't want to do that. Like, you know, it's good for you. Hey, I hope you're enjoying today's episode so far. Make sure you click subscribe to stay up to date, because we release a new podcast every single week. And if you're getting value out of this, then share it. Share it with the world. Share it with someone that you know that would also benefit from it. And hey, tag us over on Instagram at Luke_Page, and we'll give you a shout out for the support. Thank you so much. Let's get back into this. Here I am, March. I was like, oh, what can I do? What's something new that I could do? So here I go. I'm giving it a go for my first time a year in my life. I'm 37 years old, and I am, let's say I'm going to be very full. Come March 31, I'm going to be very full. All right, and the last one is instantly getting up. By the way, kiddies, I'm sorry if there's kiddies in the car, if you listen to this. The last one is I've got to get up instantly by 6 a.m., which is, I would say this year I have been waking up just kind of like, almost like I don't even have an alarm most days. I think I've been very freeing with my waking up time. I think waking up is one of the most important things. Like, say, for example, you're working on your discipline and you're like, oh, I'm not really a person that follows through with their word and things like that. I think waking up on time when you say you're going to wake up and getting up straight away is probably one of the most important things to just to start the trend of your day. So, you know, if I was coaching someone and they're like, Luke, I've got no discipline. I don't follow through my word. I say I'm going to do things, but I don't. It's probably one of the first things I would get them to do is creating a new habit around getting up. Because I think it just starts your day, yeah? And it's like, hey, you know, if you can't get out of bed when you say you're going to get out of bed, then you're probably not going to be able to follow through with a lot of other things in your life. Because I do a lot of these challenges and stuff like that, I'm a little bit more relaxed with the getting out of bed. It is hard for me. I either have a habit of getting out of bed on time or I don't. And this year I've definitely relaxed with it. And I just thought, you know what, it's time to get out of bed on time again and just create a habit around it, because it's become uncomfortable for me to get out of bed at a certain time now. So, I've just given a little simple, get out of bed by 6 a.m. and it's got to be like within 5 seconds. So alarm goes off, which I've got in a vibrating alarm. I don't have a tone alarm. Alarms are killers, don't they? I hate alarms. But the best type of alarm I think you can get is one that vibrates. You turn the tone off and you just have a vibrating sound. So that's it. When the alarm goes off, the vibration, I hear the vibration, I've just got to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I've got to be up. And that's it. Okay, everybody. Well, I can't believe this is 43 minutes of me absolutely squabbling on. I thought this would go only for 15 minutes, but this is just what I do every time. You know what? I used to have a problem recording podcasts by myself. With guests, I have no problems. because I can kind of bounce off them and, you know, I ask the questions and then they reply and then I ask another question and I kind of make a comment and that just goes round and round. I found that whenever I did podcasts by myself, I would struggle to talk because I'm like, I'm talking to myself. And even though I got no issues talking to myself and I got no issues keeping myself company and shit like that, but like having a conversation with myself continuously in a podcast form, I just found it, I was almost like, I was just like, I don't know what to say. Like I freeze up and stuff like that. Anyway, this is me 43 minutes later and I probably haven't taken a breath. I'm going to give you a chance to clean out your ears and have a little bit of a breather from the last 40 odd minutes. But yeah, if this has inspired you to go out there and create some monthly challenges for yourself, give it a go. Have some fun with it, because that's what it's all about. And if you set any challenges, you got any ideas, hey, reach out to me at Luke_Page. Let me know what challenges you're taking on. And if you got any cool ones, like I said, let us know, because I might even steal them. When you've been doing a month after month, you try and look for cool and different ones, just to make things exciting, you know, to kind of look forward to the next month. So. But I kind of run out. I mean, always something comes up, but I'm kind of like, oh, what am I going to do next month? What am I going to do next? So yeah, let us know. But enjoy. Have fun. Hey there. I hope you loved today's episode. And if you did, I would really appreciate if you could leave us a review on the platform that you're listening to this on right now. You see, your help and support allows us to spread this podcast across the world. And we can't do it without you. Apart from that, make sure you're following us over on Instagram at Luke_Page.